We're talking about innovation in our religion. And the reason why I chose this topic is because this is something that many Muslims are guilty of, just as they are with shirk and innovation. Many of us will be sitting in the hellfires because of committing shirk and committing innovations in our religion. Yesterday we talked briefly about the different dangers of innovation from the perspective of Sheikh Uthaymeen. Today we're going to talk about innovation even more, and we're going to talk about it from the perspective of Imam Bukhari, may Allah be pleased with him, and also from the perspective of many of our Sahaba. Okay? So again, my hope is that you guys walk away from this lecture today understanding what innovation is and how and why it's dangerous, and that you will do everything in your power to avoid innovations in this religion. Because again, we have to remember that all innovations destroy our religion. They destroy the Sunnah. Islam is based on two sources, the Quran and the Sunnah. Innovation destroys this. Okay? So we're going to begin by speaking about innovation. And this is from a paper written by Imam Bukhari. May Allah be pleased with him. And for those of you who may not know who Imam Bukhari is, Imam Bukhari, he was the one who traveled hundreds of miles just to verify one hadith. He was the one who gathered together many of the hadiths and put them in his collection of books known as the collection of hadiths from Sahih al-Bukhari. That's who Imam al-Bukhari was, okay? And just a little bit of trivia for you guys. All the hadiths in Bukhari are sahih, are authentic. And just for the record, 80% of the knowledge of Islam is in that book, in those books. If you possess the copies of Bukhari hadiths, and if you study them and read them, that's 80% of the knowledge of this religion. Okay? So that's just a little bit of food for thought. So anyway, Imam Bukhari, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I have met more than a thousand men amongst the people of knowledge, and I have never saw a single one of them differ in respect to the following things. Number one, they used to forbid and prevent the people from the innovations. And they all stood by this verse of the Quran that states, and hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah, which is the Quran, and be not divided amongst yourselves. And also, out of all those men that he met, he said that they all stood by this saying too, that Allah says in the Quran, if you obey him, the messenger, then you shall be on the right guidance. So here, guys, we have it in a nutshell. Islam, once again, based on what two sources? The Book of Allah, which is the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those two sources are the basis of what Islam is based upon. We have to also understand something, guys. It is important for us as Muslims to be united together. The one thing that can and does divide us is innovation. And we talked yesterday about the dangers of innovation. And we talked about how one of the dangers of innovation is that it destroys the Muslims. It causes disunity. It splits us. It separates us. It divides us. So if you want to be a nation of people who are united together as one, you have to remove all all innovations. Because again, it's the newly invented things that have divided us as Muslims. And you can see this as being so true amongst the Muslims of today. Look at the Muslims today. They're fighting with each other. They're divided. They're separated. They're slandering each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also warned us against the people of innovation. He said, whoever innovates or accommodates an innovator, then upon him is the curse of Allah, his angels, and all of mankind. And that hadith is sahih. And not only did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although what he said is sufficient, we don't even have to go any further than that, but not only did he make comments about innovators, but also so did his Sahaba. For example, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, indeed, the most detestable of things to Allah are the innovators. And then we have Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, every innovation is misguidance, even if the people see it as something good. And then Fudail bin Iyad said, he said, I met the best of people. All of them were on the Sunnah, and they used to forbid from accompanying the people of innovation. And then we have Al-Hassan al-Basri, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, do not sit with the people of innovation, and do not argue with them, and do not listen to them. And then we have Ibrahim ibn Masara. He said, whoever honors an innovator has aided in the destruction of Islam. That's deep, guys. If you aid or help an innovator, you are helping in destroying this religion. And then we have Sufyan al-Thawri. He said, whoever listens to an innovator has left the protection of Allah. And then we had the famous Imam Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, how evil indeed are the people of innovation. They are so evil that we do not even salam them. So here you can see, guys, many of the early generations of Muslims telling you what they felt about an innovator. Nobody likes innovation. Anybody who has knowledge or an understanding of this religion hates innovation because they know that it destroys the basics of what our religion is. Innovators are people who refer to Allah as being a liar, because Allah has told us that He has perfected our religion for us. So thus the innovator thinks that Allah didn't. He's saying that Allah left something out. The innovator also attacks and slanders our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's saying that the Prophet did not complete his mission neither. So again, anyone who has knowledge and understanding of this religion would hate all innovators and innovations. Allah has told us in the fifth surah of the Quran, the fourth ayat, Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, this day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And this beautiful verse of the Quran right here embodies a clear statement that our religion has been completed and there is no need to add or take away from it. And then When Allah revealed this beautiful verse of the Quran, we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, there is nothing that Allah ordered you with except that I ordered you with it too. And there is nothing that Allah forbade you from except that I have forbidden it from you too. So here you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling you that the Quran and Sunnah, they go hand in hand. They go together. They're a done deal, one in each other. And this is why you cannot call yourself a person who believes in Allah, yet you reject the Sunnah. This is why a person who claims to believe in the Quran but not the Sunnah, not only are they idiots, not only are they stupid, but they are kafir. They're kafir because the Quran and the Sunnah go hand in hand together. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there is nothing that will take you closer to paradise but that I have enjoined it upon you. And there is nothing that will take you closer to hell but I have warned you from it. And again, this addresses all you innovators, all you people out there who innovate in this religion. All you people who think that, oh well, I'm going to do this because it's going to bring me closer to Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressing you here. He has told us if it brings you close to Allah, it's in here already. It's in the religion already. There is nothing else that would bring you closer to Allah that he has not already told you of. And he has warned us of all that there is to be warned against. So thus, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fulfilled the trust that was placed upon him by Allah completely. And he explained the religion to the people in its inward and outward form, making clear the lawful from the prohibited. And he clearly encouraged us on what needed to be encouraged on. And he warned us about what needed to be warned against. So for those people who innovate, this is the damage they're doing to our religion, because they are saying that the Prophet didn't complete his mission. They are saying that he didn't warn us of everything. They are saying that they know better than he does, because they come up with something better than what he came up with. And this is why I tell you guys that there's a thin line between innovation and shirk. Because when you go around placing yourself on a level above the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you go around placing yourself on a level equal to or better than Allah, you have now committed shirk. Not only are you innovating, but you are also now a person who has committed shirk. Allah tells us in the Quran, and the interpretation, the meaning, he says, and we have revealed to you a book explaining everything. We have neglected nothing in the book. So who are you? Who are you to call Allah a liar? Who are you to say that Allah did not explain everything? Who are you? I'm telling you guys, many will be sitting in the hell fires because of this innovation. Because that's what the innovator is doing. They are calling Allah a liar about these things. SubhanAllah. So thus, guys, we understand that innovation is a very dangerous thing. It destroys the sunnah. It implies that Allah did not perfect our religion. It implies that the Prophet Muhammad did not complete his mission. So thus you can see it's very dangerous. And for those people who think that they can believe in the Quran and not the Sunnah, they are truly misguided, lost souls who will be sitting in the hellfire. And we're going to now talk about the importance of sticking to the Sunnah. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example for the one who hopes in Allah and looks to the last day. He also says, so if you obey him, the Messenger, then you will be guided. How many of us are sitting here right now depressed about our personal lives, sad about the state of affairs for the Muslims today? So what do? We're looking for a hero. We got some Muslims who even go to the extremes. I'm looking for the caliph. I got people, guys, who send me emails about how they are going looking for a caliph. We got Muslims, so-called sheikhs again, they come a dime a dozen, so-called scholars who have gone to Medina right now trying to find a Mahdi. Seriously, looking for the Mahdi. We always looking for a hero. But see, we always make the one big mistake that humans make. We look in the wrong places. You ain't got to look far for a hero. Your hero is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You ain't got to look for somebody to come tell you how to deal with your personal problems, how to get your divorce, how to handle a crazy husband, how to handle disrespectful children, how to handle slander, how to handle backbiting. All you need to do is look to the Sunnah. The Sunnah. Allah has told you that the best example you have in everything is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the best example that you also have in how to practice this religion. So if you want to learn how to be a better Muslim, you ain't got to go to Medina trying to find a Mahdi. You ain't got to look at TV praying that Osama bin Laden is your caliph. You want to learn how to be a better Muslim, then you need to sit down and pick up the good old books, the Sahih Hadith books, and start reading. That's how you become a good Muslim, by following the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have left behind two things. If you cling to them, you will never go astray. And those two things are the book of Allah, which is the Quran, and my Sunnah, which is the Hadith. Those are the two things you need to learn how to stick to. You want to know how to be a better Muslim? Going to the University of Medina ain't going to make you a better Muslim. It ain't going to make you a believing Muslim if it ain't in your heart to be one. You want to learn how to be a better Muslim? Stick to the Quran and Sunnah and leave away that innovation. Stop following your other people blindly. And stop introducing garbage into this religion. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, he said, you will live to see great difference. So cling to my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided leaders after me, even if it be with your teeth. And this prophecy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of is happening today. Look at the Muslims today. The Muslims are divided. They are fighting. You got nothing but difference going on. You got Muslims calling themselves Salafi, and they're sitting around behaving like heathens, slandering each other, boycotting each other. They're actually even worshiping, many of them, worshiping sheikhs and scholars. And they got the nerve to misuse and abuse this term, Salafi. You got the Muslims split up in all different type of groups, coming here and coming there. You got Muslims running around telling you that pork is lawful. It's lawful to eat pork if you cook it a certain way. You got Muslims over there running around telling you that it's haram for you to eat the meat of the Christians and the Jews. Then you got other Muslims over there telling you it's haram to drink the water because it might have chemicals in it. So then it leaves the person to wonder, my God, what do I do? I'm confused. Why are you confused? Stick to the Sunnah and you won't be confused. If you stick to those two things that the Prophet said he left behind, the Book of Allah and his Sunnah, you would know that pork is haram and it stays haram. It doesn't matter how you cook it, how you fry it, how you smell it, whatever. What's haram is haram. And you would know that it's lawful to eat the meat of the Christian and the Jews. And you would know that nothing in Islam prohibits you from drinking water. So don't come telling me you're confused. You are confused because you ain't guided right, brother. You need to get on the right path. Get on the path of the Quran and Sunnah. Instead of wasting your time on the internet reading fatwas and visiting these so-called Islamic chat rooms where you got all these people misrepresenting this religion. Instead of wasting your time with that, you better sit down and pick up the book, the Quran and the Sunnah, and start reading. And then you wouldn't be confused. Allah also tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, He said, and whosoever contends with the messenger after guidance has been made clear to him and follows a way other than the way of the believers, we shall leave him in the path he has chosen, and we shall land him in hell. What an evil destination. Subhanallah, that's the fourth surah of the Quran, the 115th verse. Here Allah is telling us, we got all these crazy so-called Muslims today, I'm telling you, they come to you saying that they're going to celebrate the Prophet's birthday. Or they come to you saying that there's nothing wrong with them going to the churches with the Christians. Or they come to you saying there's nothing wrong with them exchanging rings when they get married. They come to you telling you all this garbage. So then you show them the evidence. You show them the dalil from the Quran and the Sunnah, where these things are haram, where these things are innovation. And they still say, well, I don't care, I'm still going to do it. Well, you know what? You may not care right now. You may have your fun perpetrating this religion right now. But Allah has already said He's going to land you in hell. You will end up in hell, and we'll see how much fun you have with yourself then. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam began as something strange, and it shall return as something strange, just as it had began. So someone said, well, who will be the strangers? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the strangers will be those that purify and correct what the people have corrupted of my sunnah. And that hadith is sahih, and that hadith happens every day right here today. Right here today. Look how many so-called Muslims join this website. And they listen to me sitting here preaching to you the sunnah. I'm sitting here telling you how innovation is a sin, how it's outrageous, and how anyone who can reject the sunnah is an idiot. I'm sitting here teaching you this, and I sound strange. They say, wow, look at her. She's strange. She's not following the sunnah. But then you go to Pale Talk, and you listen to a bunch of people sitting there telling you it's okay for a woman to be married to a kafir man because he might one day embrace Islam. Or you hear somebody saying, take your time and disobey Allah. You just became Muslim. Take your time and quit drinking. These people don't sound strange to you. The people who are preaching the opposite of the Quran and Sunnah, they sound normal to you. But when you listen to a person like me, or you listen to a person like Sheikh Atlee, or you listen to a person like Sheikh Morsi, or you listen to a person like Imam Ibrahim, we sound strange. Because we preaching the truth of Islam. Now you tell me if this prophecy is not true today. This is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. The day will come when those few people who follow my sunnah will seem strange, while the innovators seem like the norm. Well, you know what? Layla Nasheeba can remain strange, but Layla Nasheeba will never be censored. I will never be censored. I will continue to preach Allah's religion. I don't let the kuffar stop me, and I definitely won't let so-called Muslims stop me. I will not be censored, and you can call me strange. Call me strange. I take that title with pride. Subhanallah, because that means I'm on the sunnah. I'm one of the ones that's on the sunnah. We need to understand, guys, that corruption of this religion is nothing other than innovation, which means introducing into this religion ways of worship that Allah has not taught us. This blemishes our religion, and Allah Himself condemns it. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, or do they have partners that legislate some religion which Allah has not given permission for? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you can sit up and legislate things into this religion that Allah and His Prophet did not legislate or authorize you to do? Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he one day said, how will it be when the trials overcome you, in which the young grow old and the old grow senile, and the people take the innovation as the sunnah, and when it changes, they say the sunnah has changed? The people then said, when will this happen? When will this occur, Ibn Mas'ud? He said, when your speakers of this religion will be many, and your scholars will be few, and the wealthy will be plenty, and the trustworthy will be few. Now you tell me if this prophecy is not happening today. Look at the internet. Look at this internet. There are literally millions of so-called Islamic chat rooms. You got hundreds of thousands of people sitting up on the internet speaking about Islam. But out of all those hundreds and thousands who are speaking it, only a few of them are truly scholars. Even though that they claim they have the title scholar, they still ain't. Because they innovate into this religion. They are away from the Sunnah. They're teaching you Islam based on their opinion, not based on the Quran and the Sunnah. And again, you can tell how few the true scholars are, because then when a person happens to come across one who is preaching Islam and its truthfulness, they call him strange. He's strange, and they slander. She's strange, they backbite them. Allah also tells us in the Quran the interpretation, the meaning. Follow that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow as friends and protectors other than He. From the tafsir of this verse of the Quran, we can learn a few things. We learn, first of all, that the privilege to tell the people how to worship Allah belongs to no one but Allah. No one has that authority, guys, to tell you how to worship Allah. Only Allah can tell you how. So when you're sitting up listening to these people perpetrate this religion, and just because they got the title Sheikh, you better check them out. Because if they're telling you to worship Allah in a way that Allah did not legislate, and you're following them, you're innovating. And you're aiding an innovator. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, and who is more astray than the one who follows his own whims and desires, devoid of revelation? Here Allah tells you that no one is more lost than a person who innovates. A person who innovates. And again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I warn you of the newly invented matters in the religion. And every newly invented matter is an innovation. And every innovation is misguidance and will be in hellfire. So for those people out there who got a problem with Layla Nasheeba, because she's telling you that you need to stop celebrating birthdays. You need to stop doing acts of worship that hasn't been legislated by Allah or His Prophet. You don't come back and tell me that you see good in it. Your intentions are good. Because again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every innovation, it don't matter if it's good or what, every innovation is misguidance. And it will be in a hellfire. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever does an action which we have not commanded, then it will be rejected. And whosoever introduces into this religion of ours something which is not a part of it, then it must be rejected. It must be rejected. Well, guess what? Islam may seem strange to many of you today, but Layla will always reject an innovator. You're not going to come to this website and tell people it's okay to celebrate the Prophet's birthday. You're not going to come to this website and tell us it's okay to make wudu and wipe the back of your neck. You ain't going to come to this website and tell the people that they have to fast every single Monday and Thursday. You ain't gonna come here and do that, because Layla Nasheba, who seems strange to many of you, she's not gonna have it. Because all innovation must be rejected. It must be rejected. And it will be rejected right here. Right here at this website. Also, we got some scholars out there. Now, some people get offended by me talking about the scholars, but you know, hey guys, I preach the truth. I preach the truth. And I'm sorry. A lot of those scholars out there are just like the prophet said. Many speakers, but very few scholars. They come a dime a dozen. A dime a dozen. Give me a dime, I'll bring you 10 scholars. That's how easy it is to find them. With the ones who have these titles. They go around calling themselves sheikh. Shake this. Shake that. Shake and bake this. Shake and bake that. Okay? They come a dime a dozen. A dime a dozen. You got some of these so-called sheikhs who will come to you, and I'm talking about what I know, because I had to kick one out of this website last year, right before we got Sheikh Atlee here. We had a so-called sheikh come to our website from New York. He's supposed to be pretty famous, so he claims. You got some scholars out there who will tell you that they can introduce a new action of worship in our religion, and it can be considered to be a good thing as long as it doesn't contradict the principles of Islam. You got many scholars who will tell you that. They call that bida hasana. They'll tell you there's a such thing as bida hasana. Good bida, good innovation. They'll say we're not changing the principles of Islam. We're just going to help to bring you closer to Allah. Any so-called scholar who tells you that, you need to run away from him. Because he ain't no scholar of nobody but Shaitan. He's a scholar of Shaitan, and that's about it. Because again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said all innovation is misguidance. And then we have Ibn Umar, who says every innovation is misguidance, even if the people think it's something good. So again, guys, we have to stay away from innovation in all of its shapes and all of its forms. We have to stay away from it because it destroys our religion. And Shaitan wants you to innovate. Remember, we talked about how Shaitan looks in the hearts of each and every one of us. He wants you to innovate because he knows this is one of the worst sins you can commit. He wants you to commit shirk because he knows that's another, that is the worst sin to commit. So we need to be aware of shirk and innovation and all their different forms, and stay away from them. If someone comes to you telling you that they just learned a dua that if you recite it every day, you will automatically go to heaven. You tell these people, okay, show me the evidence. Show me the evidence. Show me where Allah or the Prophet said, if I recite this dua, I'm going to heaven. Automatically. Or if somebody comes to you and say, guess what? I learned a new salat today. It's called the blah blah salat. And we pray it by standing on our heads. And if we stand on our heads and twirl around, you know, we'll get closer to Allah. If they come to you telling you this stuff, you tell them, okay, show me where the Prophet did it. Show me where he did it or where his Sahaba did it. Because remember, the Prophet said whatever will bring you close to Allah, he has revealed it to us. He didn't leave it out. So if it's true that's standing on your head twirling and reciting a dua is a good thing, that person should be able to show you the evidence where the prophet used to do the same thing. If these people cannot show you where the prophet did it, you tell them to fear Allah. You tell them fear Allah and tell them to shut up, because they will be nothing but firewood for the hell. Okay? We're going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow, we're going to go over the next chapter, which talks about different types of innovative acts in particular. For example, we're going to go over the Islamic ruling on imitating the disbelievers by doing a lot of their innovative acts. We're going to also talk about why celebrating the prophet's birthday is innovation. We're going to also talk about why, as Muslims, we don't go around imitating the kuffar by exchanging wedding bands when we get married and calling ourselves engaged and wearing engagement rings and all this other crazy stuff that Muslims are doing these days. So we'll stop right here for today. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.